Okay, welcome. Today we're really unpacking something pretty ambitious. It's this new medical framework, quite transformative, from Dr. Bacharya-Salghi and GPT-5. It's called Healing Systems, Networks of Coherence. And just so you know, our goal here isn't really about diagnosing specific diseases in the old way. It's more about understanding health itself. We're trying to move past just looking at pathogenesis, how things break down. Instead, we're diving into salugenesis. That's the active study of how health actually gets created, how it's kept going, and how it can be restored.
Exactly. And what's really striking is that this shift isn't about some new molecule they found. It's a philosophical shift almost. The core idea they're proposing is that health fundamentally comes down to coherence.
Coherence.
Yeah, the sort of rhythmic alignment, a synchronization of systems.
Yeah.
And not just inside a single cell, but like across all scales of life. And when you think about it that way, failing to heal, it isn't just bad luck or damage. They call it a stall in these coherence transitions. The system just kind of loses its rhythm, gets stuck.
A skull. Interesting. So if health is coherence, what's the language it speaks? How does this coherence actually, work? The sources talk about a universal language, right? This triality grammar.
That's it, the triality grammar. And they argue it governs basically all systems, cells, organs, ecosystems, you name it.
Okay, so break that down. What are the parts of this grammar?
Well, there are three key components needed for any healthy, adaptable system. First, you've got the binary poles. Think of these as the necessary extremes.
Bring on us.
Sort of, yeah. Like activation versus rest, or dilation versus constriction in blood vessels, or even the immune system deciding between tolerance and attack. You need both ends of the spectrum. Second, you need what they call hybrid states. These are the in-between transitional forms of what allow for flexibility for adaptation.
So not quite one thing or the other.
Exactly. Like progenitor cells, they haven't fully committed yet. Or maybe immune cells that are only partially activated, sort of waiting to see if they need to ramp up defense or switch to repair. It's the system's potential, its plasticity.
Okay, poles and hybrids. What's the third part? You mentioned rhythm before.
Right. And that's maybe the most crucial for tying it all together, oscillations. These are the time-based rhythms that synchronize everything across different scales.
Circadian rhythms, obviously.
Yep, the big ones, like circadian cycles, are key. But they also emphasize the subtler ones, things like heart rate variability, HRV, that healthy little irregularity that shows your nervous system is adaptable, or even the pulsing patterns of chemical signals, like cytokines. And here's the main insight. Illness, they argue, pops up when these poles get stuck, like chronic stress keeping you on mode, or when the hybrid states collapse, losing that flexibility, or when those vital oscillations get desynchronized.
So healing salugenesis is about getting that dynamic rhythmic triality back online.
Precisely. It's about restoring the balance and the flow between these three elements.
Right. That framework makes sense. The grammar, the rules. But who are the players? The sources introduce this idea of five root tissues. They call the minimalist map. Just five. Really, that covers everything.
Well, that's the claim, and it's based on functional equivalence. Their argument is that all the specialized jobs in the body, regardless of the organ, rely on the interplay of these five core tissue types. It's about the interaction.
Okay, I'm listening. What are they?
First up is fascia. They call it the mechanical coherence network. This is all your connective tissue, the stuff that wraps around everything. It gives you scaffolding, but also tensegrity. That's the fancy word for balancing tension and compression structure without being rigid.
And its poles.
Elasticity versus densification. Think flexible tissue versus stiff, scarred tissue. And importantly, fascia holds mechanical memory. A scar isn't just damage, it's like a memory written into your body's structure.
Okay, structure. That's one. What about movement, flow? That seems critical.
Absolutely. That brings us to number two, the endothelium, the flow interface. This is that super thin single layer of cells lining all your blood vessels. It's incredibly important.
Why so critical?
Because it senses the flow, the sheer stress of blood moving past. And based on that, it regulates dilation versus constriction. Plus, it manages the delicate balance between clotting coagulation and dissolving clots, which is fibrinolysis. It's like the gatekeeper for all fluid exchange.
Makes sense. Structure, flow,
Like
what's
that.
next? Defense.
Number three, the immune system. They frame it as the threshold logic. Its core job is deciding tolerance versus activation, friend or foe, welcome it or attack it.
And it learns, right?
Constantly, it shapes what they call the immunome, not just the history of infections, but this living, evolving memory of everything it's ever encountered at a molecular level.
Okay, fascia, endothelium, immune. Number four, Something has to coordinate all this over time.
That's the neuroendocrine system, the temporal conductor. It manages the timing, mediates the stress recovery balance, think sympathetic fight or flight versus parasympathetic rest and digest. And it absolutely relies on those oscillatory rhythms we talked about, especially the circadian cycle.
Right, the master clock. And the last one, the actual workers.
Number 5, the parenchyma. These are the specialized executors, the cells that do the specific job of each organ, liver cells, brain neurons, kidney cells, whatever. Their main poles are growth and work versus rest and repair, and they hold the organ's reserve capacity.
But the key thing you said is the interaction. You can't just have healthy liver cells sitting there on their own.
Exactly. A healthy liver needs the right structure from the fascia, the right blood flow regulated by the endothelium, the appropriate surveillance from the immune system, and the correct timing signals from the neuroendocrine system. They all have to work together. None of them functions in isolation.
Okay, so we have the grammar, the 5 root tissues.
Mm-hmm.
But what orchestrates the healing process itself? Is there a central conductor?
There is, according to this framework. And it might surprise you, it's the mitochondria.
The powerhouses. I thought they just made energy.
That's the old view. They do make ATP, sure, but the authors argue they're much more than that. They are integrative sensors, they are timekeepers, they are the switches that detect danger, set the thresholds for response, and basically run the whole healing show.
How? How do they do that?
Through something called the cell danger response, or CDR, and it's the mitochondria's assessment of safety or danger that drives it. The CDR unfolds in 3 broad phases, and you need to go through them correctly.
Okay, phase 1.
CDR1 is the alarm phase. A threat appears, virus, toxin, major stress. The mitochondria sense it. Immediately, the cell shifts metabolism, less efficient energy, more glycolysis, like burning sugar quickly. It pumps out warning signals, things like extracellular, ATP, EATP, and ROS to alert nearby cells. And it locks the system into a state of high alert sympathetic dominance to contain the threat.
Okay, alarm sounds. What happens if the threat is dealt with?
Then the system should transition. It moves into CDR2, the proliferation and repair phase.
Yeah.
The focus shifts now. It's about replacing damaged cells, rebuilding the scaffolding. Metabolism is kind of in a hybrid state here.
But there's a risk here, right?
A big risk. If the system gets stuck in CDR2, if that transition stalls, that's where you see problems like fibrosis, excessive scarring, or even uncontrolled proliferation like cancer. The repair process goes wrong.
So the goal is to get out of CDR2 as well.
Yes. The successful exit leads to CDR3, the resolution and differentiation phase. This is the return to normal, efficient, energy production, oxidative phosphorylation, or OXPHOS, comes back online. Cells go back to their specialized jobs. Normal function is restored, and maybe even some new resilience is built in.
Okay, this CDR cycle, this feels like the absolute core of their argument about chronic illness. You mentioned stalls before.
Hmm.
Are you saying things like long COVID, chronic fatigue, maybe even autoimmunity?
Yeah.
Are these basically the body getting stuck in one of these CDR phases?
That's exactly the hypothesis. Pathogenesis is a stalled transition. Get stuck in CDR1, the alarm phase, and you have chronic inflammation. The immune system stays hyper alert. You might get autoimmunity. The body is convinced the danger is still present, even if the initial trigger is gone.
Like the alarm bell just keeps ringing.
Right. And if you get stuck in CDR2, the repair phase, that's when you see fibrotic diseases, organs getting stiff and scarred, or maybe cells proliferating when they shouldn't. The body knows it needs to repair, but it can't properly finish the job and move to resolution.
Wow. So the salogenic gateway, the path to health, is successfully navigating these transitions. Healing is fundamentally about a mitochondrial reset.
That's the idea. Resetting the mitochondria allows the system to complete the cycle, restore the oscillations, and get back to that state of coherence.
Okay, that's a powerful model for the body. But then the sources do something even bolder. They scale this entire concept, the triale grammar, the 5 root tissues, the CDR stalls up to the level of society, and even the planet. How on earth does that work? How can fascia relate to, like, highways?
It sounds like a stretch at first, I know. But it's about functional analogy. It provides a lens, a way to diagnose large-scale problems using the same principles. Think about it. Societal fascia, what connects everything physically. Infrastructure. Transport networks, communication grids, the built environment. That's the societal scaffolding.
Okay, I can see that. What about the endothelium, the flow?
Societal endothelium is about flows, the economy, trade networks, resource distribution, and critically equitable distribution. If money or resources get blocked, concentrated in one area and restricted from others, that's like endothelial constriction, right? The whole system suffers.
In societal immunity, that's law enforcement. justice.
Exactly. The immune system equivalent is the threshold logic of justice, laws, social safety nets. It's about calibrating that collective tolerance versus activation. Too little tolerance, society attacks itself. Too much, it can't defend against genuine threats. It's about setting the right thresholds.
And the neuroendocrine, the timing system.
That maps to governance rhythms, policy cycles, election schedules, even cultural rituals that provide temporal structure. If policy swings wildly between extremes, or if governments get paralyzed and stuck, those are societal oscillations being lost. The timing is off.
So whether it's a cell or a whole society, what causes these systems to get locked into a stall?
Mm-hmm.
What's the trigger for getting stuck in CDR1 or CDR2?
It comes down to the chronic load, the persistent stress on the system. The authors use the term exposome.
Exposome. Explain that.
It's the sum total of all influences acting on the system from the outside. Environmental factors, nutrition, microbes you're exposed to, psychosocial stress, everything. It's the constant barrage of inputs.
So for a person, it could be chronic stress plus maybe environmental toxins freezing up their fascia, locking them in CDR1.
Precisely. And for a society, maybe it's persistent economic inequality combined with widespread misinformation acting as a chronic stressor, desynchronizing those governance rhythms, maybe locking the society into a state of alarm or dysfunctional repair. The exposome is what drives the stall at any scale.
This is a huge conceptual leap.
Yeah.
How do they propose moving from this kind of grand diagnosis to actual interventions? Are there practical tools here?
Yes, definitely. One of the key shifts they propose is moving away from just classifying diseases by their symptoms. Instead, they suggest classifying by endotypes.
Endotypes?
Yeah, endotypes based on the underlying stall. So a pathogenesis endotype wouldn't be arthritis. It might be something like fibrotic densification or endothelial flow stagnation, describing the type of stall in the root tissues.
And for healing,
you'd look for salogenesis endotypes. These describe the pathways of recovery. Maybe elastic remodeling, if fascia is regaining flexibility, or immune tolerance reset. It focuses on the process, not just the static label.
How would you even track that?
They propose using coherence dashboards. Think of them as visual tools that map things out. Which root tissues are involved? Which CDR phase is the system stuck in CDR1 alarm or CDR2 repair? Which oscillations are lost? It gives clinicians, or maybe even policymakers, an integrated map to guide interventions aimed at unlocking the stall.
So the big picture here, the future they envision, it's less about finding the next magic bullet molecule and more about understanding and restoring these patterns, these rhythms. Coherent science.
That's the core message. Identifying where the system is stuck and finding ways, maybe through lifestyle, maybe targeted therapies, maybe even social changes to help it complete that healing cycle, that phase transition back to coherence.
What really stands out, wrapping this up, is mapping that internal cellular healing clock, the CDR cycle, run by mitochondria directly onto the global scale. They literally say planetary mitochondria conduct, whether Earth's healing system stay in alarm, climate crisis, repair, ecosystem adaptation, or resolution, sustainable equilibrium, which leaves us and you with a pretty provocative thought directly from the material we looked at today. If things like massive economic inequality and the climate crisis are, in this framework, systemic CDR stalls the whole planet stuck in alarm or dysfunctional repair, then what kind of interventions that go way beyond the clinic, become necessary to actually trigger that phase transition? To nudge the whole system towards global resolution. The healing systems are supposedly there. The question is, how do we unlock them?